I appreciate the opportunity to come up here and get to talk before everyone this evening, and also appreciate the prayer Anthony led. It takes on a little bit different meaning when it's actually you coming up here to speak, so I really appreciate that. I'm going to talk a little bit tonight about the Christian attitude. I'm going to start off running through a little piece of what I think this entails, then go through an Old Testament example, and then at the end try and talk about how this fits in with our theme this year of personal growth. To start off with looking at this attitude, I'm going to look at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and Luke's account of this. So if you please turn with me to Luke chapter 6. I'll start reading in verse 27. As I read through this, please take note of some of the different action verbs that are in here and some of the things that we're being encouraged to do. And Jesus said, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back." Already you can see in those first couple of verses, there's a lot of good action verbs that Jesus is using on things that we need to do. Love your enemies, bless those who curse you, pray for those who spitefully use you, offer the other cheek, give to everyone, and it goes on. As we keep reading in verse 32. "But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, lend hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Highest, for he is kind to the unthankful and the evil." So here Jesus is contrasting the attitude of non-Christians with those who are. A lot of people in the world will do good things and offer their support and try and help others, but with different motives, looking for something in return, and definitely not doing it to those who they would consider adversarial or their enemies. But as Christians, we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to display these traits, these action verbs that we read through, not only to other Christians who it might be easy to do and help and love and be kind to, but specifically those who we don't expect anything from return or who may even do us harm. A good example, I think, of this is David in the Old Testament. I'll talk a little bit through the story of David and Saul. As David came through and slayed Goliath and then went on to win the hearts of the people there, his popularity grew and grew so that the people were elevating him over Saul. And this really got to Saul. As we all know the story, Saul came after David, tried to kill him with a spear. Twice David escaped this. So Saul didn't have enough, still wanted to get him. So he arranged an offer of marriage to David. He came to him and said, "If you go out and put him in this really dangerous situation that he didn't expect him to live through with the carrot at the end of marriage to one of his daughters." That didn't work. David went out, killed the Philistines, married his daughter. So then Saul gets even more desperate, sends his servants out to kill David, sends his son out to kill David. This doesn't work. Saul takes it on in his own hands again, comes after him with a spear again, wants to pin him against a wall with a spear. David escapes again. Saul, even more desperate, this time sends out messengers, some more of his people. He's got lots of resources. Sends people out to kill David. David narrowly escapes through a window, gets away. Saul comes after him himself again, chases him around. None of this is working. Saul's so upset at this point, he kills all the priests. And then he chases David some more, chases him through the forest. And David this whole time, and David, we're talking a lot about Saul, but we're looking at the attitude of David through all of this. Most people, I think, if they're put in this circumstances, someone out to do them this much harm, are not going to turn the other cheek. After all this, David twice has the opportunity, as Saul's coming after to kill him, to protect himself. He's not even going seeking to do harm to someone. I think a lot of us could justify this as defending ourselves against an attack from somebody else. Twice David does nothing. Cuts off a little piece of Saul's robe and gives it to him to let him know, I could have got you, but I didn't. What's even more astounding to me is after Saul dies, some of the actions that take place. If we turn to 2 Samuel, if you have your pew Bible, it's page 212. I'll be reading from the second chapter, starting in verse 4. Then the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David, king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, "The men of Jabesh Gilead were the ones who buried Saul." So David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh Gilead and said to them, "You are the blessed of the Lord, for you have shown this kindness to your Lord, to Saul, and have buried him. And now may the Lord show kindness and truth to you. I also will repay you this kindness, because you have done this thing." I think this is a very good example of what we read back and what Jesus was asking of us on the Sermon on the Mount when he asked us to repay kindness to those who we don't expect anything back from. David not only showed kindness towards Saul, turned the other cheek, but then went out of his way to show kindness for those who were loyal followers of Saul. Very likely could have been either the servants or the messengers who were not too long ago sent after to kill him. Shows them kindness after they're trying to take care of the leader, their slain leader. I think this goes a long way to an example of how we're supposed to approach things today. It may be hard to see how this. People may say it's too hard to connect. You know, this is David, this great, great biblical leader, that we can't be like that. But all of us can. Jeremiah, when he was writing in chapter 2, he remembers the kindness. He writes about remembering the kindness of youth. If you think back, when we're all young, if you have kids now, or if you're around them, their attitude, how they think and how they interact with other people. There's no mean spirit in them. They get along with everybody. They're quick to forgive. And somewhere along the line, as we grow up, I think something happens and we lose that. So when we sit back and say, it's too hard to have this attitude that David had, we need to think back like Jeremiah, remember the kindness of our youth, and try and, what happened? Where did it go? And what can we do to get it back? If we look in 2 Peter, if you have a pew Bible, it will be page 817. Read a little bit about how this attitude, how do we get it, and what benefit will it give us today? I'll start reading 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 5. "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge self-control, to your self-control perseverance, to your perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. And if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he lacks these things and short-sighted, even to blindness, as he has forgotten that he is purged from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure, For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Another good exhortation here to exhibit some of these traits. This Christian attitude that we talked about. Here Peter's talking about showing brotherly kindness. And this brotherly kindness can be to the other Christians around us too, or even more importantly, like we discussed, to those who we don't expect it in return. And the benefit we get from this, in addition to doing what we're commanded to do, is this is an opportunity, a way for us to grow, become stronger in the faith, and become stronger Christians. By adding these characteristics and having our attitude set on Christ, in verse 10, if you do these things, you will never stumble. Hopefully, the next couple of speakers you'll hear tonight will continue to build on this. I started off talking about a Christian attitude. We're hearing a little bit about a Christian image. And then you'll hear some about wisdom and the value of that and how this all ties in together more for our personal growth. But to end, as Peter said, if we add these things, we will never stumble.